This morning we have a special speaker, and he was here last night at our missions banquet. His name is David Adcock, and he is the director and he's the top cheese at ERDO. ERDO is Emergency Relief and Development Organization. It is a branch of the fellowship, the tribe that we are part of, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And it is the branch of our fellowship that actually does emergency relief, crisis relief, and development in countries that are in crisis. And so whenever I hear of a humanitarian crisis in the world, I know there are a gazillion organizations out there that help, you know, World Vision and Red Cross and all of those. ERDO's website is the one that I go to because I know who they are, I know them personally, and they know the people on the ground that they're helping, and I know that the money gets to where it's supposed to go. They also have childcare sponsorship, which can look after kids, just like you can sponsor kids through other things. You can do that through ERDO as well. And here's the thing that gets me, that has just grabbed my attention and makes me just go, okay, that matters to me. There are hundreds of charities in Canada. And each year, they get rated according to their financial integrity and what they do with their money. And out of those hundreds of charities that exist in Canada, ERDO has consistently ranked in the top 25 charities in Canada for financial integrity. That's good news. Top 25 in Canada. Yeah. So you know that when you give to ERDO and when we give to ERDO, which we do, we know the money's actually getting to where they said it was going. And so we're really happy to welcome David Adcock today. I'm going to ask him to come. And would you please welcome him as he does?
Well, good morning. It's good to share some Sunday morning life with the people of Evangel. I said to the first crowd that I came to the service early this morning, and I sat in Cabot Square, and the doors were open, and the worship team was practicing, and the worship from Evangel was spilling out from Evangel into the city. Open doors for Evangel. That's a great expression. It's a symbol of the ministry that you have in the city. It's good to be here at home. For most of you that don't know, I worked and pastored in Montreal for a number of years in Trinity, in Ville LaSalle. And I married a Montreal wife, a Greek Montrealer, kind of a triple threat. And so we're all things Montreal in our family. We celebrate and follow the Alouettes and the Montreal Impact and the Montreal Canadiens especially. And we would follow the Expos if we could ever get our act together and have one. But you know, until then, we just wear the cap. And so it is good to be here at the heart of the city of Montreal. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would bless the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that I would first be acceptable to you, because you're my rock, you're my strength, you're my redeemer, and you're our friend. We ask all this in your strong name. Amen. It is to say that we are all born with a story to tell. We all have a song to sing. We all have a love to share. We are all unique in our expression of God's personality. There is nobody on the planet like you. There are 7 billion people and 107 billion people that have lived previously, altogether 114 billion people that have either walked or walked the planet, and nobody expresses the personality of God like you do. That's why you are called into ministry. You are called into mission. We all have that love to share, a story to tell, a song to sing, and too often we don't get to say it. We don't get to sing it. We don't get to share it. One of the saddest things I did as a pastor was to officiate at funerals of people in our congregation, people who died when they were 30, and we buried them when they were 80. They never got to share their love. They never told their story. They never fully lived into their moment. They never really accomplished or responded to all that God had uniquely created them to be. Too often, I think the world does a number on us, so we forget. You know, all the macro stuff that's crowding in on our lives, you know, the news of war and disaster and global warming and all the stuff, all the CNN stuff that happens. I'm kind of tired of Anderson Cooper. The world did a number on all of us last night. I got home last night from the mission banquet and my wife mentioned, said, "Have you heard what's going on in London?" Another heartbreak. My heart goes out to our friends and people we know in England and my family in Manchester. And the world just does a number on us, doesn't it? And we just exist. We just do enough to get by. We keep the status quo. Status quo is not just a rock band from the 70s. You know, it's something that we do just to survive and get by, and we lose what we're called to be, called to do. Our passage this morning gives us a bit of a framework for how we are called by Jesus into the worlds in which we occupy, all the worlds, our family world and our work world. This is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says this, "And Jesus was going out into all the cities and the villages, teaching on their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease, every kind of sickness. Seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" I want to answer the question this morning, what do churches that have a future look like? What are future faith churches? What do they know and what will they do? See, I'm convinced that all ministry, all mission ministry is at its foundation pastoring. We are all called. The pastors of Evangel are not just Pastor Patty and Pastor Rob and the rest of the pastoral team. And by the way, thank you for inviting me to share life with you this weekend, Pastor Rob and Pastor Patty. But you're not just the pastors of Evangel. You get to pastor the pastors of Evangel. You're the pastors of Evangel. I'm trying to say it with a Canadian accent, pastor. Otherwise, it sounds like an Italian dish, right? See, I'm struck this morning by the fact that we tend to pastor each other inside the church and we do programming for people outside the church. See, Jesus pastored the multitude. He saw the sheep without a shepherd, not just the sheep inside the church, but the sheep in the world, the sheep in our communities. Jesus is saying that the sheep are without a shepherd. And what's the result? They are distressed. They are panicked. Another word for distressed is absolute panic. It's the panic of a sexually trafficked girl in a hotel room who hears the hotel door and knows that something bad is about to happen because it's happened again and she can't stop it. It's the panic of the woman that's in South Sudan right now, where rape is considered a strategy of war to cause instability in the community. The sheep are distressed and panicked. They're downcast. It's like sheep. A downcast here means hope that has been crushed out of you. It's like you've fallen and you can't get up. It's the young children in Metro Manila on the outskirts of the city who pick up cigarette cartons for the tin foil that they can get so they can sell it for a few cents so they can do it again. They can earn enough money so they can eat again so they can do it again tomorrow. See, Jesus saw the people that were distressed and downcast as sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. You've heard many messages about the fact that when you are moved with compassion, it's not pity, it is stomach-churning nausea, where you enter into the pain of the person that you... And see, Jesus, the Gospels say that Jesus was moved with compassion. It says that 9 times. And every time it says that, then Jesus did something. I guess if we just do what Jesus did, we would be living into our call. We would be sharing our story. He only did 3 things. He was moved with compassion and he fed people. He was moved with compassion and he healed people. He was moved with compassion and he taught people. I think we need to meet and respond to basic human need. That's why you partner with partners and global workers like Frank Julek in India and the Aragons in Guatemala and Erdo now and Deborah Surjasing in Kenya. See, Jesus responded to hunger by feeding people, and he did it with generosity. He did it with abundance. He fed 4,000 people, and there were baskets of food left over. He fed 5,000 people, and there were baskets of food left over. See, Jesus invites us to respond to basic human need. Mother Teresa said, we meet Jesus when we feed the hungry. We meet Jesus in his most distressing form. Jesus right now lives in East Africa and he's hungry. I forgot to mention at the top of the message that on the bottom of every slide, how many people have got phones here? Got a phone? If you have a phone and you have a question, text the question to that number. That's on every slide. Pastor Patty and I are going to reserve the last few minutes to respond to any questions or comments. If you have a question, I'll attempt to have the answer. If I don't, Pastor Patty will. So as you go through anything that I say about Erdo or around the work we do or anything that you've heard, feel free to. We'll give you a few moments at the end. And if I don't get you, your question is not chosen, I'll make sure that I do respond to you within the next 48 hours. So you'll get a text back from me sometime on my way back to Toronto. Right now in East Africa, there have been 5 seasons with no rain. I mean, I want to take President Trump to Africa because I want to tell him there is no African that thinks that climate change is a hoax. It hasn't rained in Somalia or South Sudan or Kenya in 2.5 years. And people, look at the images there. Now livestock have no forage, have no water, and they're dying. And now lives are at risk. In fact, people have begun to die. And the challenge is that by the time the United Nations declares something a humanitarian disaster, as it is in those 3 countries, half of the people that will die will have already been killed, will already die of hunger. So we are responding as churches across our fellowship. We are the tribe of the Pentecostal Assemblies. I like that expression. I think Pastor Patty is one of the chiefs of the tribe. Aren't you glad you've got one of the chiefs of the tribe here with you? And we are responding as a fellowship. And so we have been providing food and water in Kenya and Somalia and South Sudan. And our program director just came back. He met this lady called Bone. Bone is a widow. Bone's daughter is a widow who just died, leaving Bone's grandchildren to her care. She has nowhere else to go. The children have nowhere else to go. They've gone to their grandmother. They have been living for the last 3 months on half a cup of maize and some black tea. And so we have been able to partner with the church there, and the church has got food to Bone and her family and those in her community. And she says it's not great, it's half rations, but for the next few months, they're able to survive and make sure that they eat breakfast and supper, and the children, the two school children, are getting at least a meal in school as well. So they're able to get the next few months till the rainy season by November. I've got some better news than that. Evangel has made a commitment to partner with Erdo for $5,000. That's cool. I've got better news. Don't clap yet. Because that $5,000, because we've got the government match, we've got a match from the Canadian government, that $5,000 becomes $25,000. So you are feeding women like Bone in East Africa. You can clap again in a minute, because the government last week just increased that match by another dollar. So it's actually $5 for every dollar that somebody gives. So you've actually programmed, as of last week, $30,000. Evangel is leaving a footprint and pastoring people on the other side of the world. Thank you on behalf of the people that we're serving together in there. See, that's what Jesus calls us to do. The scripture says, you remember that scripture in the Old Testament where it says, welcome the poor into your neighborhood, into your camp? It actually doesn't say, welcome the poor. It says, welcome your poor. See, we belong to the poor, to the hungry. They belong to us. We're hyphenated to each other. Secondly, Jesus was moved with compassion and he fed people. But secondly, he healed people. Now, I'm payoc enough to know that we heal, we pray for people, and Jesus divinely brings health and healing into people's lives. But let me tell you, I'm not just talking about this. I'm talking about we as the people of God should be transforming our communities. As churches, as healthy communities who pastor Montreal, who pastor Quebec, who pastor the world, we need to be people of health who promote health in community. Churches are God's best idea for making his name known and his presence felt. Evangel is called to bring salvation to people and transformation to this community. I'm thrilled when I see all the condos that are being built around. It's like God is bringing people into your parish under the shadow of your steeple, and you get to pastor them. You get to see them. You get to be people who develop relationships. See, health is about developing relationships, being healthy in your relationships. See, at its bottom, at its center, the gospel is an invitation to love and be loved, to be loved and to love, to taste intimacy with God and to share it. That's all we have to offer. We don't, we can run orphanages and feed people and do the other stuff, but churches at our core, we are the people, we are disciple-making communities who are called to each other so we can develop relationship with people outside the walls. That's who we are called to be. See, we live in a heart-hungry world where technology and all this stuff is doing a number on us. We need to be people of health that engage in relationship. The best hope for Montreal is Evangel and churches like Evangel. I like churches that are Caleb kind of churches, that like ask God for the difficult places and the challenging places. I am glad that Evangel is in the city for good, and you're at the heart of the city. We are called to live in relationship with our neighbors, our family, people around us. In fact, the gospel, it is said, we are to be people who live outside of ourselves. We live in God by faith, and we live in our neighbors by love. Remember that scripture in James where he says, you know, visit the orphan and the widow? The operative word there is not widow or orphan. The operative word is visit. It's be with. It's listening to communities. It's listening to our neighbors. My dad used to tell me I had two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion. See, if pastoring is at the root of all good mission ministry, listening is at the heart and the root of all pastoring. We need to not just show people how clever we are by designing good programs and efficient delivery of care for the poor. It's about showing up in their lives and allowing them to show up in our life. It's about not only listening, it's about affirming people, being people who bless and encourage others. We need to be people. I mean, I'm so glad that you resourced the street ministry of Don LaRue, because I don't say it any better than you, Pastor Patty. But because young people in Montreal, street-involved young people of Montreal, they have been told they're not enough. They're not good enough. They're not smart enough. They're not bright enough. They don't have enough of a future. We need to be people that bless them and tell our community, tell our people, tell our neighbors how good they are, how God has got a plan for them, how smart they are. We need to be people who bless and encourage. Watch this clip.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important. You is smart, you is kind, you is important. Oh, that's so good.
Saw that on an airplane a while ago. It's from a movie called The Help. Shouldn't we be people that tell people they're kind, they're smart, they're important, and they're important to the Creator, that they're important to Jesus? So Jesus was moved with compassion, and he moved. He spent his time healing people, hanging out with people that were profoundly awkward and in the deeply disturbing moments of their life when they faced hunger and pain and conflict and doubt. Jesus showed up in their lives. We need to show up in our neighbors' lives, in our community's life. Lastly, if pastoring is about responding to need, it's about being people of health. It's also about teaching people. Because when you teach somebody something, you are telling them that they're important, that they're worthy of investment. That's why you partner with Joy Johnston in Uganda and the Parodies in South Africa and Helen McMinn in Kenya and the Herzogs in Europe. See, Jesus spent his life teaching parables and life lessons about the business owner and the prodigal's father and all the other kind of parables. He's teaching people what's right and wrong, the value of compassion, the value of working together, the value that they have in God's economy. See, if we value people, we will invest in them. If we don't value them, we'll just do programs. We'll do stuff to them. But when you value somebody, when you teach somebody, when you help them gain a skill, you're helping them create a future for themselves and their life. When they start to see who they are in God. That's why in the DRC in Congo, we have a microfinance program. Microfinance where we take loans that people give us here, and we make sure that young women or women in Bukavu, in the eastern part of Congo, get these microfinance loans. And so this woman is a woman. She used to work. Her name is Francine. She worked in the market selling brass doorknobs and hinges and stuff for somebody else who gave her the stuff, and she had to give the money back, all the money. She was making 25 cents a day. Well, she was able to go to her local Pentecostal church. She went through a teaching of how to start a business. She was given a $50 loan, and she paid it back. And she got her own business. Her income went from 25 cents a day to $8 a day. Can you believe that? That was so cool. She actually then was able to pay for her own school, her children's school. She was able to feed herself, house herself, make a future for herself. She got a $100 loan. Then she got a $400 loan. This is in an economy where $300 is an annual salary. We have 1,500 women have received loans from the local Pentecostal church. They have come; many of them have come to Jesus and the reputation of faith, but they have built a future. We have had a 99.9% return rate. One person has defaulted out of 1,500. Amazing. The other woman whose picture is on the screen, her name is Woru. Woru lives in northern Kenya. This is part of our partnership with the church in northern Kenya. It's called 1,000 Widows. There are two tribes here. These are the pastoralists. A pastoralist in northern Kenya. It's kind of like Bible times. They are sheep herders that follow the grazing rites. So there's a tribe called the Rendell tribe and the Barana tribe. And they're often fighting over water and grass and feeding and livestock and all that kind of stuff, and often there's conflict, and Woro's husband was killed. And what happens in that context, in that culture, is that when your husband dies, the property reverts back to the husband's family, and the wife and her children are kicked out. So Woro was reduced to begging in the village back to the neighbors that she used to have be neighbors with, and she was just kind of eking out. The church was able to come alongside, teach her husbandry skills. And if you ever go to the Erdo site, or if you've ever given from the Erdo gift catalog, when you get to give somebody a goat for Christmas or a goat for a birthday, this is a goat that was given by somebody in Canada to somebody else in Canada for their birthday. And they bought a goat, and we were able to give the goat to Woro. And Woro was able to get milk then, and she's able to get some income, and she's been able to get a house and a herd. And the deal is that when we give a goat, when the church gives a goat to Woro, she gets to give the first offspring, the kid, to another widow that needs it. And here's the cool thing. You know what Woro and the women of the village decided to do? They decided to give their kids to the widows from the opposing tribe, the Barana tribe. That's cool. The widows have become agents of peace and reconciliation. The gospel is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's why we spend time not only in Erdo, but in our Payoc tribe, making sure that we teach church leaders how to lead and to serve well, and Bible college students how to lead and to serve well. See, Jesus taught the multitudes that nobody else thought was worthy. He called the best out of them. That's pastoring. That's what we get to do. We get to pastor Montreal. You get to pastor your family. You get to pastor your community, your work world. See, when we pastor, we respond to basic human need. When we pastor, we heal broken hearts. We develop ministries of relationship. We hang out with people. We learn to listen and be affirming. And lastly, we teach kingdom values and that people are of value to the kingdom. We might discover, thank you, Pastor Patty, as you come. We might discover that as we do this, that the fields are indeed white to harvest. That the workers are not few, but they are many because they are us. We are the workers. We will discover that we get to tell our story, share our love, sing our song. And God will be honored. His reputation will be enhanced as we pastor Evangel, as we pastor Montreal, as we pastor Quebec, and we pastor across the world. Thanks for allowing me to share your Sunday morning. Have a
Thank you, David. How many have learned something this morning? Yeah, me too. We've got time for a couple questions, and a few of you have texted the phone here. And so, David, one of the questions is, I'm trying to put it together with some other questions. So sure. We've talked a lot about Africa this morning, and of course there's a great deal of help that we're doing there, that Erdo is doing there. Where else in the world, are there other places, or does Erdo focus only on Africa?
That's a great question. We don't just focus on Africa. Africa, Asia, Southeast Asia, particularly in Thailand. I've just came back from Thailand, Cambodia, and all that kind of region. Also in Latin America, Guatemala and Honduras and Haiti and kind of Central America. So all over. Well, the distinctive that Erdo brings, at the risk of bragging a little, is that we're not an NGO. We are, because we are part of the POC family, we are part of the Pentecostal church here, but we partner with churches, Pentecostal churches around the world. So Erdo doesn't help anybody. It's local churches around the world. It's the churches in Kenya, the churches in Cambodia, our partners there, so that wherever there's need, and we can partner with a grouping or a fellowship of churches or a local church, a Pentecostal church, that's what we'll do. So, and God has churches everywhere. They're behind every bush. They're everywhere. That's why I think the church, the local church, is a great example of God's best idea to make his name known.
That's awesome. And the cool thing about it, because some of you will be sitting here going, I never heard of Erdo. Well, that's because Erdo stays behind the scenes and promotes local churches. So local churches are strengthened as help is given through them, which means that it's culturally sensitive and it's appropriate and it's all of those things, which is really great. Both my phones blanked out here. One other question. Just hang on. Can you talk about... and maybe the question was answered through the local thing, but when we hear stories all the time of food deliveries being stolen by militias and stuff, when it's supposed to be get to the right people, how do you deal with that? How do you ensure it gets to the right place?
Great, that's a good question. One of the what we used to do for Erdo years ago, for those of you that have been aware of Erdo years ago, we used to ship food from Canada. We used to containerize it, put it on ships, get there, warehouse it, and there was often there was some loss and some challenge getting to that. Now we actually monetize it here. So when farmers sell us product or kind of donate product, we sell it here. That gives us the resources to buy it locally. Because even in a famine, here's the thing that we have to remember, that in a famine, it's not that there's no food. It's that the poor don't get food. There's availability. There's just no access. So we buy as close to the community as possible. We often use the local economy, the shops and the stores and stuff. And we're actually experimenting right now. It's a great question because we're experimenting right now with cash vouchers. So we actually give phones to our people. And we transmit the money on the phone. They take the phone into the store. They can choose the food that's appropriate for them. And we're not having to look after food. There's no chance of theft or stealing. And there's that kind of a very strong accountability. So I think that's... And we boost the local economy. We're not over it. And there's dignity because people can shop for themselves.
Yeah. Wow, that's fantastic. Let me ask one more question. Sure. It's one I asked in the first service. And I want you to talk about this, how this partnership came to be with the Canadian government, how what we give gets multiplied. How did that all come about? Is it a grant? What does that look like?
Sure. The Erdo was one of the founding members. This is great for the reputation of faith in Canada. All of the church groups, denominations, from Orthodox and Catholic right through to Baptist, I don't know why that's a spectrum, but all of us, Anglicans, we all work together in something called the Canadian Food Grains Bank. So we actually were part of the founding of that. So we've talked to the government and said, listen, would you work with us as a group? Because we've got churches all around the world. So if you want to help, help us to help them. So we've actually got a, we get a grant every 5 years, and that's the $4. Then every time there's a need, I have to write, or our staff have to write a proposal to the government. The government has now said, if there's an emergency, we will get it back to you. We will green light it in 24 hours. So our South Sudan, Somalia, Kenya stuff was done like that in terms of the approval process. So we have to write that, and they say, we trust you guys. You are people of faith, and so they have partnered with all of us. I think that's good for the reputation of religion in Canada, that it's churches working together to respond to need, and Jesus gets God gets the honor.
Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's just stand. You know, I just want to, we're going to close in prayer, but I just want to say how grateful I am, David, for you being here today.
Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you're doing with Erdo. It's really good. You know, I sit on the general executive for our fellowship for the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and I get to hear these stories every time we have meetings, and I go, oh, I need to tell Evangel these stories. I just think it's so phenomenal that it's not just one-to-one, but it's one, and then all we got a bunch of ones here all together, and then we connect with ones all across Canada, with churches all across Canada, and with Erdo, and then all of us connect with churches and local groups all around the world, so that the one on the other end who's in desperate need can get helped. Isn't that amazing how God just networks that all together?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that we get to be part of it. So God, this morning as we close our service, we say thank you, Lord, for this thing that you've created, for that we're not just individuals, we're not just ones. We belong to networks, we belong to families, we belong to churches, we belong to your body all around the world. And as we all work together and come together in unity, we get to help each other and make sure the ones that need help the most are the ones that get it. And so thank you that we get to be part of that. Thank you for our government, Lord. We pray blessing on
indeed.
Our Canadian government that allows what we give to be multiplied 5 times over. Thank you for that. And Lord, I pray now, God, as we just, I mean, we've been all around the world in our heads this morning. We're walking out of here back into Montreal,
yes.
and back into our families, and
yes.
back into our workspaces, and into our schools, and all the places we spend our time. So God, we pray the same thing that we pray every single Sunday. Would you help us to carry Jesus well to all those spaces?
Amen.
Would you help us to walk out and do good? Help us to walk out of here and love each other, and help us to walk out of here and reveal Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. And we thank you for it. Bring us back safely next Sunday, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Make sure you go get coffee somewhere downstairs. Say hi to each other. We'll see you next Sunday.